We've already spent some time this morning singing about heaven, and that's what I want to talk about this morning. If you'll keep your Bibles over to John chapter 14, we'll be referencing that throughout the lesson this morning. Many mansions or dwelling places are in heaven, and there Jesus has gone to make a home for us. The Greek word mone is translated mansions or dwelling places. It appears only here in John chapter 14, as we've already read, but also in verse 23, and there it's translated an abode in the New American Standard translation. God and Jesus make their abode with those who believe, and that's you and I. In the immediate context here with John chapter 14, Jesus has been communicating these things to his apostles, that he would leave them very shortly, and that they could not follow where he was going. He was being crucified, and he was raising up, and he would be lifted up to the right hand of God, and they could not go then at that time with him. But later they would follow him to heaven. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6, as we have already read this morning. And I want to talk about heaven in this respect this morning. What is it like to have a mansion in heaven, and what is it like to have a dwelling place? I believe this helps us with our attitude as we think about this. There's an old song that I like. It's not in our song book. It's Mansions Over the Hilltop. Verse 2 of that song, you may remember it, says, "Don't think me poor or deserted or lonely. I'm not discouraged. I'm heaven bound. I'm just a pilgrim in search of a city. I want a mansion, a robe, and a crown." The chorus says, "I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we will never more wander, but walk the streets that are purest gold." I want you to think with me this morning about this dwelling place, as is translated in the King James, this mansion. Excuse me. And I put a picture up here of the Texas governor's mansion. I tried to find one of the Florida mansion, the governor's mansion in Florida, but couldn't find a decent picture, believe it or not. I found a pretty cool website, but not a good picture on there. And so I chose this one. It helps remind us about what a mansion is. And perhaps you have gone and seen mansions before, and it's more than just a building. There's other things which are there. You think about a mansion, you think about a very big garage with all types of automobiles, those types of things. Some mansions even have an airplane or a jet airplane in the backyard just for the owner. Or there is a yacht perhaps in the backyard for the owner. And there are servants there to wait on those who are staying in the mansion, whether they're the owners or they're guests of the owners or whatever it may be. And so we think of all of these things when we think about a mansion. Now, when I think about a mansion, this is what I think about, and that's a very large yacht, because that's the mansion I would like to have if I could have any mansion I could have. And that, to me, would be very enjoyable. It would be a lot of fun. That would be a wonderful thing to have and wonderful things to enjoy here while upon this earth. But we're talking about the heavenly mansion tonight. We're talking about the heavenly Jerusalem today. And here is an artist rendering of that holy city of God. And we could indeed look at this or any picture of the new Jerusalem of heaven, and we could pick it apart and say that this was totally inadequate. And that's because men cannot begin to even draw those things or to paint those things upon a canvas that God expresses within His Word. But this helps us to remember the grandeur of the city of God, that city that we're all headed for, which we all live for eternity. God's mansion, God's dwelling place, is greater than any mansion man could have here upon the earth. And that's really what we need to take away from this. Turn your Bibles this morning with me over to Revelation chapter 4. I want to remind you of just a couple of scriptures. Revelation chapter 4, of just how great and wonderful and grand the city of God is, and that place which we will live for eternity. And it's expressed in these ways. Not that we're hedonistic in some way. Not that we're materialistic in some way. But it helps us to understand how great this place is that we will be for eternity, and how much we should desire to be there. Here is a scene in heaven, chapter 4, verse 1. "After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I had heard, like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me, said, 'Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things.' Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. And he who was sitting was like a jasper stone and a sardis in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne like an emerald in appearance. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white garments, and golden crowns on their heads. You see royalty here. Royalty lives in these great grand mansions upon the earth, and royalty live in the great mansion of God. We will see that also as Christians that we reign with the Lord, that we too are royalty. We are a great priesthood unto the Lord, and so we live in a great and a grand place in heaven. Turn your Bibles over to Revelation chapter 21 with me. This is a great place, a wonderful place, a place that all of us should desire to be, a place of comfort and joy. Revelation chapter 21, and beginning in verse 10, just to read a few verses here of this very lengthy passage in which these things are expressed in great detail, symbolic details. Verse 10, this is John said, "And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. And the glory of God, her brilliance was like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal clear jasper." And this is what we today would call a diamond, a crystal clear diamond. "It had a great and high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names were written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. There were 3 gates on the east, and 3 gates on the north, and 3 gates on the south, and 3 gates on the west. And the wall of the city had 12 foundation stones, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb." You see, this is a great and a grand city, greater than man could ever build, greater than man can actually even begin to imagine, even in these very symbolic terms. Therefore, we desire to be in this mansion. We desire to work very hard and to do the things that we need to do. People work all of their life for a mansion, don't they? They work hard all of their life to have this type of joy and this comfort and to live in this grand royalty. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, the end of this verse. "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." Back over in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6, you and I, indeed we work very hard to live in this city with God, to live in this royal city. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6. "Blessed and holy is the one who has a part in the first resurrection. Over these the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with Him for 1,000 years. Royalty lives in the great mansions of God. And you and I, when we enter into heaven, we will live in this royal mansion, greater than any mansion here upon the earth, greater than any mansion man could build with mortal hands, more grand, more glorious is this place where we will live for eternity. Turn your Bibles with me over to Matthew chapter 16 and beginning in verse 24. "Indeed, we must be committed. Those who have the wealth of this world are very committed, aren't they? They're very driven in worldly terms. They work very hard in worldly terms. And they're very committed to these things. We too must be committed." In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. "Then Jesus said to His disciples, 'If anyone wishes to come after Me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for My sake will find it.'" What is the cost of obtaining eternal residence within the mansion of God? It is our very own life. We must give up our life that we follow after Jesus Christ. "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" You see, we could have the nicest mansion here upon the earth, greater than anything that even exists today. Gold inside and out, all of its furnishings being gold, larger than anything anyone's ever dreamt of, and we could not give that in exchange for our soul. We could not trade that for a home in heaven. We must give our life in service and dedication to God. And then He will reward us with an eternal dwelling with Him in His mansion one day. Well, what is our attitude, not only of a mansion? Now, let's talk about this dwelling place as Monet is translated in some of the translations. Here, not focusing upon the grandeur as a physical place, but that with whom we will be forever. Life is more about who you are with than what you have. That's what life is all about. It's about being with others, sharing things with others. How much fun is it to go and to do some recreational activity by yourself? It's not a lot of fun. You may like to do it a time or two, and it may be nice to get away from the rat race for a while, but if you're out doing it day after day after day, it wouldn't be about playing golf. It wouldn't be about what I like to do, and that is going out on the water and being on a boat and doing those types of things. I tell you what, I've done those things, and when you go by yourself, I'm just not very happy. I don't enjoy it very much. But when I share that experience with others, then I really enjoy it, and I have a lot of fun doing those things. And that's the same thing with life. Life is about who we are with and who we share these things with. Fun things aren't really fun when we don't have others to share them with. We will share heaven with God rather than Satan. John chapter 3 and verse 16. And we all need to make up our minds. You see, we're all going somewhere. After this life, we're either going to heaven to be with God, or we're going to hell to be with the devil and his angels and other people. Bad, evil, corrupted people of this life. One or the other. You see, we have no choice about going to one or the other, but we have a choice which one we go to. We want to go to heaven. John chapter 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." That's the person we want to be with. We do not want to be with the devil. We do not want to be with his angels and with the demons. Turn your Bibles with me over to John chapter 15. We want to be with Jesus. John chapter 15. Let's just think a moment about Jesus, as we already have today with the Lord's Supper and all the many things that He has done for us. John chapter 15, beginning in verse 13. "Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends." Now, who do you want to be with? Do you want to be with God, who loved you so much to send His Son? Do you want to be with Jesus Christ, who loved you so much to lay down His life for you? Or do you want to be with the devil, who hates you, who wants nothing but bad for you, that wants you to live in hell forever? Who do you want to be with for eternity? I know you want to be with God and you want to be with Jesus. John chapter 8 and verse 44, speaking of the devil, "Those who are living in sin, you are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Do you want to be with the father of lies or the father of eternal life? Your father in heaven. And also turn your Bibles with me over to Revelation chapter 12. I want you to notice here what Satan did is recorded here in Revelation chapter 12. And beginning in verse 1, just a few verses here. Revelation chapter 12. Do you want to be with this person that's described here in this chapter? "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by..." Excuse me, I'm in Romans. It starts with an R. I want to go over to Revelation. Revelation chapter 12. And beginning in verse 1. "A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And she was with child," that's Jesus Christ, "and she cried out, being in labor and in pain to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon." Do you want to be with that dragon? Do you want to be with the devil in hell forever? Or do you want to be with God? Look at this dragon. "Then another sign appeared in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads were 7 diadems, and his tail swept over a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she gave birth, he might devour her child." What is that telling us? Satan wanted to destroy Jesus Christ. From his birth on, he sought to destroy him. Do we want to be with someone like that forever? Or do we want to be with Jesus Christ, our Savior? Verse 5. And she gave birth to a son, a male child, who is to rule over all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, and she had a place prepared by God, so that there she would be nourished for 1,260 days. And there was a war in heaven, Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon. The dragon and his angels waged war, and they were not strong enough, and there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceived the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Who do you want to be with forever? Do you want to be with God, or do you want to be with Satan? I know you want to be with God. Therefore, we have to do what we have to do. Give ourselves, give our lives to the Lord, and he will then give us a dwelling place with him. Do you want to be with Christians, or do you want to be with sinners forever? Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, the Great Commission. Jesus said to the apostles, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Who do you want to be with for eternity? Do you want to be with Jesus and the apostles, and do you want to be with Christians? Turn your Bibles over to Acts chapter 7. I couldn't help but think about Stephen. Look at this man, Acts chapter 7. Here he is teaching the truth, preaching the truth of Jesus Christ. He was one of the deacons appointed in Acts chapter 6. Now in chapter 7, verse 54, notice what this man does, and notice what occurs to him. So when they heard this, this is Stephen preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were cut to the quick, that's the Jews who were listening, and they began gnashing their teeth at him. And being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed intently into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened up and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out with a loud voice and covered their ears and rushed at him with one impulse. When they had driven him out of the city, they began stoning him, and the witnesses laid aside their robes at the feet of a young man named Saul. They went on stoning Stephen as he called on the Lord and said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." Having said this, he fell asleep. Who do you want to be with for eternity? Do you want to be with God? Do you want to be with Jesus? Do you want to be with the apostles and the Christians? Or do you want to be with Satan and his angels and sinners? Who do you want to be with? Turn your Bibles back over to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21 and beginning in verse 6. Blessed and holy is the one who has a part in the first resurrection. Over these the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. When the 1,000 years were completed, Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together for the war. The number of them is like the sand of the seashore. And they came up on the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And fire came down from heaven and devoured them. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone. Who do you want to be with for eternity? Turn your Bibles back to chapter 20 and look at verse 13. Chapter 20 and verse 13. This is the judgment at the end of time. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Here's a picture of a man recently on trial in Germany. He was on trial for being a cannibal. This just happened recently. Matter of fact, I've got a story dated May 9th, 2006. It's a Reuters story. Title is German Cannibal Gets Life. And I hope this man repents and obeys the Lord Jesus Christ so that he can go to heaven too. But just look at that face for a minute. Do you want to be with people like that forever, for eternity? That's the people like that, you want to spend eternity with them? The story here, I could not even read the story of what this man did in mixed company. I can't read it here. The vile, sinful things he did to another man and then ate his flesh. I can't read that to you today. But that's the people that's going to be in hell for eternity. Those types of people. Do you want to be with them? I know you don't. You don't want to be with those individuals. You want to be with Christians. You want to be with God and Jesus and the apostles. You don't want to be with sinners and the devil and his angels. How do you get to your mansion, to your dwelling place with God? Turn back over to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And verse 6. Here the apostles didn't know how to get where Jesus was going. Well, they did, but they didn't know that they did. He says, I'm going to a place that you cannot go. One day you can go there. And Thomas says in verse 5, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus is the way. The Greek word translated through there is dia. Transliteral spelling is D-I-A. It's all about Jesus. To get to the mansion that we want, to get to the dwelling place that we want, it's all about Jesus. We must hear Jesus Christ and obey Jesus Christ and do His will, following in His footsteps, 1 Peter 2:21. That's the way to get there. Do what Jesus wants us to do. Do what Jesus would have us to do. Turn your Bibles over to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And look at verse 7. Jesus, just a little bit, is recorded here by John. Jesus is telling them that He is the door. John chapter 10 and verse 7. So Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. How do we get to our mansion? How do we get to our dwelling place? How do we get to the place that we all want to be? We have to go through the door, and the door is Jesus Christ. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. To get to our mansion, we do not have to gather heaps of silver and heaps of gold, and we do not have to do those physical things that men do to obtain their mansions, but we have to walk through the door, and the door is Jesus Christ, in obedience to Him and doing His will. Well, turn your Bibles back over to John chapter 14 and verse 3. Jesus is going to come home. Excuse me. Jesus is going to come and get us one day. And He's going to take us home. He tells them in verse 2 that there are many dwelling places. And verse 3. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that there I am, there you may be also. How do we get to our mansion, to our dwelling place? We simply walk through the door. The door is Jesus Christ. We go through Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. We do what Jesus would have us to do. We obey Jesus Christ. Turn your Bibles with me over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's read here very briefly about Jesus coming back. As Paul says, we are to comfort one another with these words, and I want to comfort you today. For those who have gone on before us, that we will see them again one day. And one day we will rise up to be with our Lord forevermore. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. How do we get to our mansion in the sky? Through Jesus Christ. He is a door. We walk through that door. He'll come back to get us and to take us home. I know you want to live in that mansion too. I know you want to abide with God forevermore. I know you choose to be with God and Jesus and the apostles and Christians, not the devil and his angels and sinners, for eternity. Walk through the door, Jesus Christ. He'll come to get you, and He'll come to take you home. Live like you have a mansion in heaven. I want you to think about that. Live like you have a mansion in heaven. Your mansion is not here upon the earth. The things which you care about, the things which you're dwelling upon, they're not here upon the earth. You're not thinking about physical things here. You're thinking about your mansion which is there. You're thinking about your dwelling place that is there. You're striving every day for that mansion in heaven. You're striving every day to get to your mansion in heaven. You're striving every day looking forward to the coming of Christ. He'll come home. He'll come and take you home. Let's live in that way, like we have a mansion in heaven. We're going to offer the invitation this morning.